fact, in the 1960s, there was a concern in the church that there were too many saints' days, too many feast days, and some people thought it would obscure the primacy of Jesus Christ. So that's why some changes were made in the church's calendar back then. I don't think that attitude comes from the Philippines. I've never heard in the Philippines anyone say there's too many feast days or too many celebrations or too many fiestas. Well, today's a fiesta. Feast of the Queenship of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And even though it's nice to have another feast in honor of Mary, someone might ask, well, didn't we just have a feast day of Mary? Didn't we just have a big fiesta in honor of the Blessed Virgin Mary last Saturday? Yes, we did. It was the solemnity of the Assumption of Mary into heaven. Big feast day, and we had a big celebration of the feast here because it was also the commitment day of our annual members. So why have another feast day in honor of the Blessed Virgin Mary in heaven? Well, it's actually an extension of the celebration. You could say it's like an octave feast of the Assumption. Mary didn't wait 1 week to be crowned Queen of Heaven and Earth. When she was assumed into heaven, she took her place as Queen right away. So last Saturday, we celebrated the Queenship of Mary. And we even had that reading last Saturday, which described Mary as a woman, a heavenly woman, clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head, a crown of 12 stars. Well, a crown means a queen or royalty, and stars meaning a heavenly kingdom, heavenly queen. But this feast day, even though Mary has been Queen of Heaven since she got there, and that image has been in the scriptures since the time when the book of Revelation was written, this feast day is pretty recent. I noticed the description of it here. It says this: Feast of the Queenship, or Memorial of the Queenship of the Blessed Virgin Mary, instituted by Pope Pius XII in 1954. This day commemorates Mary's participation in the glorious and universal kingdom of Christ through her special role in his redemption. Though not the source of grace, she is the channel through which all graces are received. 1954 in the church's history is not very long ago. So I'd like to just reflect a little bit on the history that leads to this feast day. It's also connected to Anuin, because Father Francis received his understanding of the liturgy as the ponderings of Mary, our Queen Mother, in the 1950s. Or early 1960s. So let's go back in history. Pretty much all of history, people have considered the right way to govern a country is to have a king, or a queen, or an emperor, or a czar, or some top leader. Yes, there were some experiments with different kinds of governments in the Greeks and the Romans, but pretty much almost every age of history and every culture has just assumed that the way to run a country is to have a king. Remember way back when the Lord was forming his chosen people, they said, everybody has a king but us. We need a king too. And the Lord said, okay, if you want to have a king, well, I'll give you a king. But it's not as good as you think. But nevertheless, in every age, there was this kind of an assumption that you have to have a king. Well, in the 18th century, especially late 18th century, certainly in the 19th century, this idea started to crumble, and different forms of government were becoming more popular. I'm talking about earthly kingdoms, of course, earthly nations, states, civil governments. And people started to see, well, it's not always that good to have a king, because not all kings are good. Maybe we should change it so that we have a distribution of power. The French Revolution is probably the biggest example of this, 1789. So the French said, we're not going to have a king, King Louis the whatever he was. We're going to have liberty, equality, fraternity, we'll make the, we'll run the government ourselves. Of course, that was a great idea, it seemed like, but it didn't work, and it was a disaster, because if you knock the king out of power, someone else takes power. But that idea that we don't need kings started to grow. The American Revolution is another example of it. No kings, no kings. A government with separation of powers, republics, democracies, this sort of thing. So it became very popular in the 19th and 20th centuries to say, well, we don't need kings. We don't need kings. We don't need anybody. We can't trust anybody with absolute power. We'll distribute power. Even recently in the United States, because the office of the presidency keeps growing stronger and stronger, the last several, maybe four or five presidents, so the rallies against the current president are called No Kings. That's the protest rallies are called No Kings. So it's not a protest against the president so much as we don't want him to act like he's a king. That's the mentality of modern thinking. At the same time, especially in the 19th century, the phenomenon of atheism became widespread. No king, no God. Atheism, there's no God. And a kind of militant declaration that there's no God. And he's not our king either. Now, in our days, atheism has actually diminished. Because most people who don't believe in God say, well, I don't care what you believe. I'm not going to fight it. Believe whatever you want as a kind of relativism or agnosticism. It doesn't matter. We can't really know, so let's not even talk about it. That's the modern idea. But 100 years ago, atheism was really an issue. Okay, so that's the history of it. What did the church do in response to this? It said, okay, there are different forms of government that can be recognized, but God is still the king. And the king of heaven is Jesus Christ. So the feast day, the solemnity of Jesus Christ, king of the universe, was put on the calendar in 1925, only 100 years ago. Now, he was always king of the universe, and there was no doubt about that. But when this mentality came in that, oh, we don't need kings, the church had to say, yes, we do. We need Jesus Christ, King of the universe. There's some people here from Christ the King. Or Christ the King. Okay, 1925. In the 20th century, there was a very strong devotion to Our Lady. And in 1950 was the declaration, the dogmatic declaration, that Mary was assumed into heaven, body and soul. We celebrated that last Saturday. 4 years later, the Pope decided to put this feast day on the calendar, the Queenship of Mary. So you can see what was happening. As the secular world was getting anti-king, anti-queen, anti-royalty, the church was saying, well, we're not following that mentality in the church. We honor Jesus Christ, our king. And we do have a queen, his mother, the queen mother, Queen Mother Mary. So we're going to have a feast day in her honor. That's what we're doing today. Mary, Queen of Heaven and Earth. Queen because she is at the service of Jesus, her son. Queen because she's a humble handmaid of the Lord. Because she's the one whom God can raise up. There's no obstacle in her to bringing her to reign in glory. Mary, Queen. Now, I told you that this historical review is also connected to Anouilh, because this image of Our Lady of the liturgical life is the fruit of Father Francis trying to grasp or trying to convey what he had received, this understanding of Mary representing the church and of the church's inner life being Mary's inner life. So to ponder in our hearts is to do what Mary does. To do what Mary does is to do what the church does. And that's what we're invited to do. Ponder in our hearts the mysteries of God. Take into our hearts all that God reveals. And Father Francis in 1950, I think he was a novice. In 1954, he was studying theology in the Marists. And so this, as the church was honoring Mary as assumed into heaven, Mary as queen, he was also receiving an understanding of what it means for Mary, Mary our queen mother, to be the model for our interior life. And that's what he tried to convey in the icon. So I mention the icon because we do call her Queen Mother Mary. So today is the feast day of this icon, which means today's the fiesta of this shrine, shrine in honor of Our Lady of the Liturgical Life. Okay, so a little bit of history. Now let's just take a few ideas from the scriptures. These readings are not chosen for the feast of the Queenship of Mary, but they do teach us something about how God looks at kings and kingdoms and royalty and power. In the first reading, we have this beautiful vision of Ezekiel of the glory of the Lord returning to the temple. Remember, the glory of the Lord left the temple because the people were not faithful. But the Lord said, even if you're not faithful, I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to humble you, purify you, then I'll come back and remain with you. And listen to what he said. When the glory of the Lord came back to the temple and Ezekiel saw the glory filling the inner courts of the temple, he was told, Son of man, this is where my throne shall be. This is where I will set the soles of my feet. Here I will dwell among the children of Israel forever. Well, once you talk about a throne, you're talking about a king. So a glorious king, and his palace is the temple. The kingdom of God is not only in heaven. He fills his temple on earth. He reigns on earth. So that's why we always pray, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. We do belong to a kingdom, and we do have a king. It's Jesus Christ, and he reigns among us. In the gospel, Jesus warns against the error of the Pharisees, not the error of their teaching, but the error of their way of life. So they have authority and they speak the truth, but they don't live according to the truth. They don't practice what they preach. And that's not an example for us. That's hypocrisy. That's pretense. What does he say about the right use of authority? The greatest among you must be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, but whoever humbles himself will be exalted. This is Jesus' advice to his disciples. It's also a description of himself, and it's also a description of Mary, his mother. She is exalted because she humbles herself. She's great because she's a servant. We honor her as a queen because she's at the service of all of us, her children. In a certain sense, the modern rebellion against kings, no kings, no absolute authority, no supreme power, that we recognize that, meaning we're not going to take that role either. We don't like to see it in the world because it gets corrupted. But we're not going to take that place either. We're not the supreme rulers of our lives. We are children of God. We are members of the kingdom of God. We belong to God. We're servants of God. And when we take on that identity, then the Lord exalts us. Mary is a great example. Whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Mary humbled herself, she's exalted. But this feast day reminds us that her queenship is not only for her. Reigning in glory is not only for Jesus and Mary. The whole point of humbling themselves is not so that they reign in glory, but so that we can share in glory. This is what it says in the opening prayer of the Mass. O God, who made the mother of your Son to be our mother and our queen, as St. Augustine said, more a mother than a queen, but she's mother and queen, graciously grant that, sustained by her intercession, we may attain in the heavenly kingdom the glory promised to your children. So as we honor Mary, our mother and our queen, we ask that she intercede for us that we can reign in glory in the kingdom. So this celebration of Mary our Queen Mother, is also a reminder to us of our own identity, our own call to be glorious. Because we're children of the King. And children of the King are princes and princesses. They sit on royal thrones. They participate in the government of the kingdom. They share in the glory of the King and of the Queen. So it's a very beautiful feast and a very positive one. We're happy to have another fiesta and to have this third of the three feasts of glory in the month of August. We're happy to honor Mary, assumed into heaven, reigning in heaven as our Queen. And we ask her to pray for us, as we do every single day when we come to this shrine. Queen Mother Mary, we have it on the front of our song sheet. We come before you begging an outpouring of grace upon the whole world. Amen.